On today's episode of the Kuribo Shoot Podcast, Luigi's Mansion 3. Welcome back to another episode of the Kuribo Shoot Podcast. This is episode 63. I'm your host, Brandon. I'm joined, as always, by Chad, my co-host. How's it going?
Hey, going good.
That's great. We've got a good show lined up today. We've got lots of news, and of course, our main topic is going to be Luigi's Mansion 3. We've been playing that quite a bit, so we're going to give our first impressions of this game. Before we get into that, though, what have you been playing here lately?
Well, of course, Luigi's Mansion 3.
So, right.
But yes. Other than that, I had some friends over recently. We played a lot of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Oh, very nice.
So unlocked a few more cars and everything, so very, very fun.
Yeah, you know, there's not much unlockable in there except for, like you said, the car parts and stuff. But there seems to be a lot of them because it seems like every time I play it, I unlock something else.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, that's a great co-op game for sure.
It sure is. Little kids really like it, so it's fun.
Of course, the bulk of my playing time has also been Luigi's Mansion 3, and I'm really enjoying that. But I've also been sticking with Ring Fit Adventure, so playing that every other day or so when I'm not doing a jog or a bike ride, and I'm really enjoying it.
Good deal. About how far into it do you think you are?
I just beat World 4, so next time I play, I'll be in World 5.
Oh, very cool. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, really enjoying that. You definitely get a good workout and are very sore after you play for about an hour. So
I thought you were walking funny still. Yeah. So,
what about any recent pickups that you want to talk about?
So Brandon, I finally made a pickup. I didn't have much. I've got one pickup,
and I'm just seeing this now. Wow, yeah,
this is the largest pickup I've ever picked up. And by the largest, I don't mean most expensive. I mean big. So I finally got an arcade machine, and it is a Ms. Pac-Man arcade machine made by Midway.
Oh, that's awesome.
So,
wow.
As you know, I don't know if the listeners know, I sometimes buy storage units, abandoned storage units that go up for auction, and this actually happened to be in one of them.
Wow, what an incredible find.
So it's pretty cool. It does not work as of right now, but at least I've got one. I want to see if it's something even I'm interested in working on, seeing what the problem is to fix it, but we'll see if it's stays in the collection or if it disappears.
Cool. Man, I bet you were super surprised when you found that out.
I was very. I could see it, so I knew I was going to get it if I won the auction.
How's the cabinet condition? Is it in good shape?
The lettering is not faded at all.
Oh, that's great.
It's got some scuffs. I mean, it's pretty old, and it was in storage for a while, so it does have some scuffs here and there, but way better than I thought it would be.
Very nice. And this would be the upright version, cocktail table version.
No cocktail table, right, upright.
Oh, that's awesome. And that's one of my earliest memories of playing an arcade game was playing Ms. Pac-Man. It's an absolute classic. I think it still holds up today very well.
I do too. It's crazy for me to think. I've got Ms. Pac-Man on like a the Game Boy sized cartridge, a DS cartridge, whatever it was on. And now they have, how it used to be is in this giant arcade.
Exactly. That's really cool, man. The best of luck getting that thing working. I'd love to see it.
We'll see if it's doable or not.
Very nice. I picked up just a couple of more Switch games, actually, is all I've picked up. I haven't picked up anything old like you. No arcade machines for me. Although I really want that arcade 1-Up Turtles arcade.
I want that bad. Yeah. That would be so cool. Well, you got an arcade last time, the Donkey Kong one, so I just had to get one to you.
But I picked up another fitness-related game on the Switch, and if you thought that Ring Fit Adventure was Nintendo's first fitness game on the Switch, you'd be wrong, because Fitness Boxing is a game that they published last year, and I had forgotten all about this game, but I saw it on sale at GameStop for about half price, and I picked it up, and so I'm going to be using that as well. You know, in the winter, sometimes it's hard for me to get outside, and that's where I usually exercise, but sometimes it's too cold or rainy, so I'm trying to find some more stuff I can do indoors when it's just unbearable outside. So I've played this only just a little tiny bit, but I did really enjoy it. So just another fitness game. And then I also picked up Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020, but I can't talk about it and what we've been playing because it hasn't gotten to my house yet. I ordered it on Amazon.
Gotcha.
So they had a pretty good deal on there. I got it for $40, but I'm not sure when it'll come in. So
this game just totally slipped past me. I forgot that it even came out.
I know. We've mentioned it several times to each other and on the show. But when it actually came time for it to be released, I completely forgot about it until later on in that day I saw a review for the game and I started looking and was like, oh, wow, it's out today.
Yeah.
But this game is getting somewhat mixed reviews, but I've never played one of these Mario and Sonic Olympic games, and I've always wanted to try one, so I'm hoping that I will enjoy it.
Very cool.
Let's go ahead and move on into the news. We got actually several items for the first time in a while here. Nintendo released their financial results since the last time we recorded, and these financials go up to September 30th of this year. So that's kind of where these numbers stop at. And I thought we won't talk about them all, but just talk about a few of the things that caught my eye, some of the highlights. So it looks like the Switch Lite has sold 1.95 million units, and that was in just 11 days since it was released. And they said that turquoise was the most popular color of the three colors sold so far. So what do you think about this? Is this about what you expected, more or less? Or
I really wasn't sure what to think, honestly. I am surprised overall. In just 11 days, that seems like a whole lot.
It does, yeah. And it really seems like this time, compared to like when the original Switch launched, it seemed like they did have plenty of systems this time. And every store I went into, they always had them in stock. So yeah. I think they really made a bunch of these and had them available. And I think that's probably why they sold as many as they did.
Right. As far as turquoise being the most popular color, out of three, it doesn't surprise me really.
Yeah.
But I figured yellow, honestly, would not be the most popular.
Yeah, because that seems to be the one that Nintendo's kind of focusing on.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought, yeah.
But I know you picked up the turquoise.
I did.
And I've seen it, and it is very nice. And I can definitely see why that would be the most popular. I'm kind of curious what would be the next popular, if it'd be yellow or gray. I'm assuming probably yellow, but right. They've only said that blue was the most popular. Couple other things that I found interesting. They said Link's Awakening sold 3.13 million units, and of course this came out the same day as the Switch Lite, so this was in only 11 days as well. This was very surprising to me. I mean, this is a remake of a Game Boy game. It's a 2D Zelda, you know, and that it sold that many copies. It just shows how hot the Zelda franchise is right now, and that a lot of that is due to Breath of the Wild.
So some of this made the Switch Lite sales, I think, were impacted by this game too. This game coming out the same day and everything, and I think that really helped sell the Switch Lite.
Definitely. But I was just surprised, already over 3 million units. I think this will be a pretty big selling game. Yeah. It's already sold that much in about half a month's time.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And then another new entry that we saw was, since the last time they had their financials, was the Fire Emblem Three Houses. And it has currently sold 2.29 million copies. Now, this may seem low compared to something like Zelda, but again, the Zelda franchise, Mario franchise, these are way bigger than Fire Emblem. I started looking back at some of the other Fire Emblem games, and this is easily going to be soon the best-selling Fire Emblem game ever, so doing very well for itself.
Right, yeah.
And again, I just think, you know, kind of like how Zelda's always been popular, and I think Breath of the Wild just helped it be even more popular. I think Fire Emblem, I think Smash Brothers has really helped the Fire Emblem series become big, especially in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in the days when we had GameCubes, I didn't even know what Fire Emblem was until Smash Brothers Melee came out, and I certainly didn't even know there was a Fire Emblem game on the GameCube when I was younger and it was a new system.
Right.
I just didn't know much about Fire Emblem at all, and it seems like as the years have went on, we just hear more and more, and there's more and more games, and they seem to be very good overall, so I was happy to see that sell very well.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I wanted to mention, that it kind of had they kind of updated all the lifetime sales of the different software titles on the Switch, and I just noticed that Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is now at 19.01 million copies sold. This is going to be our first 20 million seller on the Switch. That's insane. And this thing seems like it just sells, you know, a few million copies every quarter or half a year whenever they release the results. It just always sells more and more. So,
you know, it seems like it's always at the top of the bestsellers charts or in the top 10 all the time.
Yeah. You know, when Smash Bros. Ultimate came out and how well it sold, and it still continues to sell, I always thought Smash would eventually overtake Mario Kart. But after seeing this, I don't know that it will. I think Smash will be right there. I think it'll probably be number two, but I don't see anything catching Mario Kart.
If you look at the previous Nintendo consoles and everything, look at the best-selling games, Mario Kart is always near the top.
Kind of across the board, yeah. You're right. It's just something about it, and Nintendo really has a hit on their hands. And it's just extra amazing because this game is not even original. For the Switch.
Yeah,
you know? This came out a long time ago on the Wii U, and they sold several million copies there. So overall, Mario Kart 8 has already sold well over 20 million copies. Next item I had that I want to mention is it looks like someone, and I think Nintendo has been searching for this individual and may have caught them, but someone has leaked Pokemon Sword and Shield online. So there's been spoilers everywhere. I've been just, anything I see about Pokemon Sword and Shield right now, I just don't even read. I'm afraid of having it spoiled.
I'm the same way.
Sometimes I do like to hear occasional rumor or something, but something like Pokemon Sword and Shield, I really just kind of want to go into it and be surprised by things. I don't even know which all Pokemon are going to be in it or anything else. I just would hate to have all that ruined. So if you're planning on playing this game and don't want it spoiled, be very careful with what you click on online.
For sure.
The next item we had is that this week we had a Super Smash Bros. Ultimate video. This was another one of those videos where Sakurai shows off a new character that's fixing to be released. And this time he looked at Terry Bogard, the newest character from the Fighter's Pass. And this was a pretty lengthy video. This was about 45 minutes, and he went over everything about the character, as well as the character stage and music, and then also some Mii Fighter costumes. Now, we both watched this, and I was just curious kind of what your thoughts were on it.
So I haven't watched the entire video yet, but I did catch most of it. The part I really like about it is the stage and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And also, you know, Terry Bogard's from the Fatal Fury series. I never really played that series, so
that's right.
I don't know just a whole lot about it and everything. But as far as the character, I think he looks really cool. Looks like Ryu with the ponytail, sort of.
Yeah.
Or the other one.
Ken.
Yes. Yeah, Ken.
Mm-hmm.
So I really just don't know much about this character, but from what I could see, it looks like he's always, even if he's facing the other way, he'll quickly turn around so that he's always facing his opponent and everything.
Right.
So kind of like Ken and Ryu in that respect. But his stage, you're unable to knock somebody off of it until they get high enough damage.
Right. And then it's very unique.
Send them off flying. So that's really cool, so you don't have the danger of trying to fall off and trying to save yourself. Which is very good with those fighter types, because they have a horrible save normally.
Exactly.
Ryu, Ken, they all are terrible.
You know, I was initially surprised, but, you know, it does make sense. All these, heavier fighting characters, they, like you said, have terrible recovery, so this is a perfect stage for people like that.
Right.
I thought one interesting thing was Sakurai went through the classic mode with him and started on the highest intensity you can start at with. And while also commentating, he made it all the way to a 9.9 difficulty at the end. He's just incredible.
Watching him
play, he's very good. And you can just tell he absolutely loves this franchise, and he really puts his all into it.
I believe so.
I really enjoy these little videos he does. You can kind of get a more of a sense of how he is. And he's actually quite funny sometimes.
He is.
Yeah. Another thing that kind of surprised me in this video was they're talking about the music. You know, always when we get a new fighter, we get new music from maybe the games that they were previously appeared in. And there, you know, sometimes we get a lot, sometimes we don't get much. I remember with Cloud for Final Fantasy, I think we got two songs.
Right.
This is a little different for this Terry Bogard. We ended up getting quite a bit more than two songs. They said that they typically will send a bunch of songs to the owners of the character and let them choose a few. They said that SNK just said yes to all of them, and they asked for 50 songs. So there are 50 SNK songs in with this character.
That's crazy.
That's just wild. I mean, this game already has so much music, and they just keep adding more and more. I mean, it's probably one of the greatest collections of a Nintendo and even just video game music ever.
Along with the characters and fighters in the game.
It's true, yeah. This game really lives up to the ultimate title, I would say.
It's definitely a celebration of video games,
I
believe.
Yes, I agree as well. Also, alongside this, version 6.0 was also released, and it added not a whole lot of things that I necessarily care about. It didn't add a new mode or anything, but I think it added different options and stuff for the arena fights online, where you have a little bit more control and you can change the rules without backing out, and has some chat and stuff in there. So I'm sure that's nice for people that play online. I actually don't play this game online very much, so I don't know how much it affects me. I know a lot of people were hoping for like Break the Targets to return.
Oh, I remember that.
I think we'll just have to keep waiting. Who knows? Maybe it'll come eventually.
Right. And even after this thing, after Sakurai's presentation thing, Terry Bogard was made available today. So
that's right.
He is playable now. I have not yet got a chance to play him, though.
Yeah, so I saw, you know, Sakurai playing as him, and I thought he looked quite a bit of fun, and I haven't had much chance. I only got to play one match with him, but I did get to try him, and I really like him. Cool. He's a lot of fun to play as. I really liked his moves, and I really like how once he gets over 100%, he has these special moves he can do, and they're very powerful, but they also leave you kind of vulnerable. So
right.
He seems like he's going to be a lot of fun to play as.
He looks like a real powerhouse. So.
Definitely. And kind of after this video, it looked like that Nintendo decided to, a lot of people don't really know who Terry Bogard is. You know, he's kind of unknown unless you were kind of grew up in the 90s playing these SNK fighting games. And so they've put a bunch of Fatal Fury games that are already on the eShop. They put them on sale for $3.99 each. So there's a bunch of Fatal Furies, King of Fighters, all these games that Terry Bogard starred in. You can now get these for about half price. So
Very cool.
Actually picked up a few of these. I haven't played them yet, but I'm looking forward to kind of seeing kind of where he originated from.
Right, yeah, good idea.
Let's see here. Also, we got a couple new Smash Amiibos announced, and me and you are always excited when a new Amiibo is announced. So we got two of them this time. It's going to be Dark Samus and Richter Belmont. It looks like they're going to be coming out on January 17th. What did you think about this?
So they're running out of characters, so we're getting two instead of three. I assume that's the reason.
Exactly, yeah.
Richter Belmont, don't really care a whole lot about that one, but Dark Samus, I did see a screenshot of that one. It looks incredible.
Oh, yeah.
So I can't wait to get my hands on that one.
I can't either. You know, there's not just a ton of Metroid Amiibos out there, and it's always nice to have another one. And, of course, we've never seen a Dark Samus before.
Oh, yeah.
Very interested in picking that one up. And then lastly here on the news is I noticed today that this when we're recording this that the Target Black Friday ad was leaked online. And I always enjoy looking at these ads as they're leaked because you can usually get some pretty good deals. And I thought we'd just mention a few of the big Switch items that were in this ad if people are looking to pick up either a Switch or some games on the cheap. So it looks like there's not really any great deals at Target on a Switch system. You will get Mario Kart 8 Deluxe with a Switch for $2.99, which is actually the exact same thing they did last year. So not a whole lot of change there. But if you're planning on picking up a Switch, it's nice to get a game like Mario Kart with it.
Right.
But more exciting to me was some of the game sales. So I thought this one... we'll just start out kind of highest to lowest in pricing. So at $29.99, you'll be able to pick up Super Mario Odyssey, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, or Mario Tennis Aces. And this is about the lowest price I've seen these at, is $30.
Right, for retail, for sure.
And that's some absolute great games there, especially Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey. Definitely worth picking up at $30 if you haven't picked them up already.
Oh, yeah.
Then going on down to $25, looks like Just Dance 2020, the new Super Monkey Ball, I think it's Banana Blitz, I think is what it's called, remake, the Spyro Trilogy, and Overwatch. So some pretty recent releases here all the way down to $25. And then lastly, at $15, you've got Killer Queen Black, Mario Rabbids, Crash Team Racing, and the Crash Trilogy. So very cheap here. Are you looking to pick any of these up? Any of these catch your eye, Chad?
So I've never played a Super Monkey Ball game before. If I'm able to find that one, I wouldn't mind
picking it. It's going to be tempting at that price. Right. Yeah.
The Spyro Trilogy, I've always wanted to play the Spyro games. And definitely Killer Queen Black. That's a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, this is a regular $30 game. And even Walmart didn't discount this game, which they usually do with all their new releases. So I know me and you have been kind of wanting to pick this up, but I hated to spend $30 on it. I'm glad I haven't yet, because I'll definitely be getting this for $15 if I can find it in stock.
Yeah, same here.
So, of course, we still have a few ads to look forward to. Stuff like Walmart and Best Buy has not leaked as of this recording. It may soon, but I'm very excited about picking up some Switch games I've kind of missed over, I haven't purchased yet. So I'm very excited about that. Moving on to new and upcoming releases. So we've got a couple of things coming out on Friday. That's one of them being Layton's Mystery Journey. This is the Catriel game that's coming out on the Switch, kind of remastered and has some extra stuff. I'm very interested in picking this one up.
Yeah, same here.
Also, on the same day, the Pokemon Sword and Shield Nintendo Switch Lite is coming out. And I think we both are picking this up.
It's pre-ordered, so I assume so. Yeah, I have seen some unboxing videos and stuff online. Just I did look at those
to see what it looks like. Yeah.
I think the box is just incredible looking.
I know.
The box art is awesome.
The box is very nice. And I really like the back of the Switch Lite, how it has the two legendary Pokemon on it. I think it looks pretty good.
The sticks are blue on one side, red on the other. That still has not grown on me, really. I don't really care for that.
I know. In one way, I like that they are colored as opposed to all the other Switch Lites where they're white. It makes it kind of unique. But yeah. I wish it was just one color.
Yeah, blue or red would be kind of cool.
Exactly. But yeah, I know this, I think, has already come out in Japan, so some people are getting them from there and unboxing them. So you can definitely go on YouTube. I know I saw Nintendo Life did an unboxing. I watched that one. So you can definitely get on there and see kind of how it looks and decide if it's for you. But yeah, I would think this one will be like most special editions and probably won't be on the shelves for very long.
Right.
And then, of course, the next week after that, on the 15th, Pokemon Sword and Shield come out. And we're both very excited about this. I'm very, very eager to get my hands on this game.
I can't believe it's so close right now. We need to try to get through Luigi's Mansion 3 so that we can dedicate all our time to Pokemon.
Exactly. And speaking of Luigi's Mansion 3, I think it's time to move on to the main topic. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll get right into it. Okay, we're back, and we're going to be talking all about Luigi's Mansion 3. This game came out last week on Halloween, and we both picked it up, and I've been playing it ever since, and thought we'll just kind of give our impressions. Neither of us have beat the game yet, but we have tried it out. We've tried out the single player and co-op as well as multiplayer, so we're just going to be kind of going through that. We may have some very minor spoilers for the first 3 or 4 hours of the game, but nothing too spoilery at all we'll try to keep up to a minimum. So I guess we'll just kind of first off start talking about kind of the single player and the story. I was very surprised by the presentation of this game. I knew it was going to look good because we've seen the trailers, but I thought this game had more story than I thought it would, and I really enjoyed like the opening cutscene. Me and you were talking about this earlier, and you mentioned that it kind of reminded you of how Super Mario Sunshine opens, and I thought that was a perfect comparison. That's what it really reminds me of, and I just really like that style of a cutscene.
I do too. You know, it started out to me, it started out as a bright, cheerful game.
Exactly.
And I was not
even
expecting
the title screen is bright and cheery.
It is. Yeah. It just it had me totally confused.
It throws you for a loop.
It did. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was expecting dark and gloomy, but no. It's the sun is shining, and it's everything is happy at the moment.
That's right. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I that's the first thing I thought of was how Mario Sunshine started out on a plane. You're in another vehicle when you started out on Luigi's Mansion 3, and it just kind of threw me back to Sunshine.
Definitely, and also it seems like the characters talk a little more than they typically do in a Mario or a Luigi game, and I just really enjoyed it. It's very charming.
Right, you know, Mario and Luigi talk more than Link, of course, but even they have limited speech. It seems like when Mario was at the beginning of the game, he said quite a few different words I didn't know he knew.
Exactly.
And then Luigi did as well, so I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah, in fact, once they get to the hotel and everything seems okay initially, as they're going to bed and going to their respective rooms, Mario and Luigi say night-night to each other, which I never thought I would hear, but I really enjoyed it.
Oh, man, that was funny.
But yeah, so of course it starts out, like you said, really, really bright and cheery, but quickly things take a turn, and you get more into the typical Luigi's Mansion game. But and this one takes place, I'm sure as you know, in a giant hotel. So this is, to me, is kind of harkens a little bit more back to the original Luigi's Mansion versus Dark Moon. In Dark Moon, you know, you had, I think, 5 different houses you would go to. This is all contained in one building again. So I really like the setting as far as the hotel. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, like you said, Dark Moon, it would kind of break those 5 houses into levels.
Exactly.
Once you'd complete it, you'd see your score. This here is just continuous. You know, you just go in and out of doors. You go down, up and down the floors of the hotel.
Yeah. Exactly. And I see why Dark Moon did that. It was a handheld only game, so they wanted it to be something where you can kind of play through a house or a mission and then, you know, save it and pick it up later. But this being a handheld and a console game, I'm kind of glad it's back to just one hotel. And of course, it seems like this hotel is just gigantic. I don't know how some of these things fit in the hotel, some of these worlds. But anyway, it's been a lot of fun so far. You know, Luigi does have a few new moves with his Poltergust. He's got a slam move as well as a, what do they call it? I think it's a burst move or something. If you hit ZR and ZL, it'll kind of send out a burst of air. Luigi will kind of float up in the air like a jump, although he can't really move while he's jumping. And if you're surrounded by a bunch of ghosts, it'll push them away. And of course, the slam move, once you've been catching a ghost for a while, it'll give you an option to slam the ghost. It'll take a lot of health from the ghost. You can also slam the ghost you're currently catching into another ghost and do it some damage. So what do you think about his new moves?
So the combat and everything, I think it's definitely easier than previous games.
It is,
the slam takes about 20 health away from him, and each time you hit another ghost, take 20 off of him. So it definitely helps moving through the enemies and everything. It makes it a little bit easier, but Luigi's Mansion isn't just the hardest game, so
I don't know for sure.
I think it's a neat move.
Yeah, I do too, and we'll talk about the multiplayer a little bit later, and I actually really like the slam move and when that's involved, but in the just the main story, I find myself not even using the slam all the time because it almost makes it too easy.
Right.
I feel like they may have made it just a little too powerful.
Yeah, I think so.
But there's some, you know, and this is a more modern game, so of course, it's not going to have as many of the hard things that even the original Luigi's Mansion had. You know, I noticed that every room you enter, it automatically saves, but I really like that, you know. And the first Luigi's Mansion, it seemed like, you know, you'd have to find a toad somewhere hiding if you wanted to save your game.
Right.
And if you happen to die, then you might be replaying a lot of the game, and that's not really a factor in this one. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it so far. How many floors would you say you have played through so far?
So I think I'm probably right around the 10th floor, I believe.
Okay, so maybe even a little past halfway, maybe.
Yeah, should be.
Okay, I'm a little bit less than you. I've probably done about 7 or 8.
Very cool.
Do you have a favorite floor so far? Of course, it starts out, it kind of just seems like a typical hotel. You know, you got your rooms and a kitchen or whatever it may be. But as you get higher and higher, it seems like the floors get more and more themed. And so there's some pretty neat ones so far. I didn't know if any stuck out at you.
Oh, man, they're just, yeah, themed toward all different things. You know, you have your, my favorite is probably, there's a movie theater one. But it takes a lot of work to get through it, but there's at one point you're actually filming a scene in a movie, and it is really neat.
Very nice. So I have not made it to that floor. I saw it in a video, and it does look really neat.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I really enjoyed that.
My favorite one probably so far, as I said, I haven't been to very many themed ones yet. I'm assuming everything past where I'm at, though, probably will be a different theme, but I really enjoyed the medieval one.
Yes, that was
it's kind of cool. You're kind of back in medieval times, and I really enjoyed it, you know. And one thing I really liked about this was kind of the end, the boss. He's kind of has a lance and he's on like a horse, and I really enjoyed that. And I really enjoyed all the boss fights. I wanted to ask you about that, actually, what you've thought about the bosses so far. To me, they've been very unique, and some of them have been a little tough for me to figure out. So
yeah, they have been tough for me to figure out sometimes. I just try to stay alive long enough to see if
exactly.
I can figure it out.
Yeah.
But I do remember that one. That was a lot of fun. The boss fights, yeah, they are a little bit more unique than most of the other ones and everything from the previous games.
They are, yeah.
And I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, each boss is very unique. It looks different than just a standard ghost. And I would say, you know, we kind of mentioned, especially using the slam move, the game's fairly easy so far. But to me, the boss fights have not been super easy for me. I guess kind of once you know how to beat them, if I tried to beat them again, it probably wouldn't be too much trouble. But they're definitely more challenging than like a Mario Odyssey boss, for instance. To me, they're quite a bit more challenging than something like that.
Yeah, I agree.
You've got to figure out, hey, what do I need to do to make this ghost vulnerable where I can start sucking him up?
Right. That's what takes the longest, is just trying to figure out how do I beat you.
Exactly.
It's not actually executing the plan and everything.
Yeah. And I like to have a little bit of a puzzle to solve in a boss fight. So that's probably been, honestly, the highlight of the story mode so far has been kind of the bosses.
The boss fights. That's cool. Yeah.
And of course, just another thing that's been really impressive to me is how much care the team has taken with Luigi. He has a lot of personality in this game.
Oh, yeah.
Just all kinds of expressions, and I didn't know you can make someone have so many different animations for being scared, but it just seems like there's just 100 animations of him being scared in one way or another, and they're all very entertaining.
My favorite one is he'll if something scares him, he'll start walking very stiff, and he'll walk fast, and just he'll be just standing straight up with his teeth showing and kind of chattering. It looks great. Awesome. Yeah.
And another thing I really like is maybe you're checking out a closet or a dresser drawer or something to see if there's anything hidden in there. Sometimes there's just a big cloud of dust, and if he gets in it, he'll start to sneeze, and it just stuff like that. It really makes the game feel alive and just very charming, in my opinion.
Yeah, they really paid attention to detail.
Oh, and yeah,
something about that. I've heard a lot of other reviewers say it, how good this game looks on the Switch. Just the graphic animation, everything looks. It's one of the best looking games on the Switch.
Oh, hands down.
Right up there with Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which looks amazing.
Yeah, I think this game is just very, very impressive graphically. I think it puts even like Mario Odyssey, it definitely makes Mario Odyssey not look as good to me. And this game is just very, very detailed and very polished.
Yeah, for sure.
And definitely, I really am enjoying how it looks. And I've played this a little bit in handheld, and it just doesn't do it justice. I like playing this on my big 60-inch TV with the lights out. To me, that's the way this deserves to be played. It looks that good.
I haven't actually played it in handheld yet. I've only been playing it on a big screen.
So. It's if you can, that's the way to go, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd go ahead and also talk about, there is, of course, Luigi makes his return. He was in the Luigi's Mansion remake on the 3DS, and he kind of has a starring role in this game here. And you will need him, whether you're playing single player or co-op. There are puzzles that you need both Luigi and Luigi, and they have an easy way where you can kind of swap between the characters if you're playing by yourself, or if you have a friend or someone to play with you, you can play as each of them at the same time. Now, I have not got to play this in co-op mode. I was curious if you may have.
Yeah, I've actually been playing the entire game so far co-op with my wife.
Very
so
nice.
She's a big Luigi's Mansion fan.
So how does that work?
So it takes about an hour, honestly, to get to where you can play co-op, because you have to find Luigi and
right,
everything.
Right, initially you don't have him. That's true.
Before you find Luigi, you have to find Professor Egad. Yes, he is in this game.
Yes.
So we got to talk about Egad here for a second.
I agree. How have we gotten this far?
Yeah. So Egad is you have to rescue him, basically.
Right.
I'll say without trying to give a whole lot away, but we both knew Egad was in the game. He is in every Luigi's Mansion game. Once you find him, he has some of the funniest expressions. His voice is still the same, thankfully.
It's amazing.
The sound effects he uses is hilarious, and we learned something new about him. The way he runs is quite hilarious.
Oh yes.
So it looks like he is running 100 miles per hour, but is only doing about 2.
Yes, you actually kind of have an escort mission with Professor Egad, and I know people don't love escort missions. This is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. When I saw him running, I mean, it's one of the funniest things. It's one of the funniest animations I've ever seen. I never expected Egad would look like this running around.
If you haven't played Luigi's Mansion 3, it's worth it just to see Egad run. So.
Exactly. And speaking of Professor Egad, not only did he invent Luigi, who we're fixing to get into, but he also, every Luigi's Mansion game, he has a new device for Luigi to use as a map. Of course, in the original GameCube version, it was a Game Boy Horror. And in the Dark Moon, it was like a DS. I think they called it the Dual Scream or something like that. And this time it is one I wouldn't have expected, but it's basically a Virtual Boy, but they call it the Virtual Boo. And it's just great because Egad is so proud of this invention and talks about how it's going to sell so well, which of course we know it would not. But I really enjoyed this little nod to the Virtual Boy. It is just perfect.
You even
opinion.
Get to see everything in red when you look
through
it.
Oh, I know it. It's amazing. So,
it's very cool.
Yes. I wonder if Nintendo, you know, they've added Labo VR support to some of their other games like Odyssey and Breath of the Wild. I think they should add a Virtual Boo support for the Labo VR where you could hold it up to your face.
I would be going and picking up a Labo VR.
I would too. That is what would bring me over the edge and make me purchase one.
For sure. But anyway, as soon as you rescue Professor Egad, then you can get Guiji later on after you played for a little while.
Right.
So, and that's where your co-op begins. So one person controls Luigi, the other controls Guiji. Guiji cannot open doors or anything like that. So you're a little limited. You know, fire and water hurt you. You're a little vulnerable also.
But he can do some stuff that Luigi can't do. So it's pretty balanced out.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, he can do some other things that Luigi can't. We've been having a blast. Having an extra person really comes in handy too.
Oh, I bet it does. Yeah.
Guiji's health is only 25, but he regains. If he gets knocked down to 5, he'll just start regaining automatically.
So I've noticed cool. that. Yeah, he definitely can't take that many hits, but his health is regenerating, which is very nice. Mm-hmm. And I would just imagine just exploring. You know, I'm kind of a completionist in a way. When I go in a room, I want to check everything. And I would imagine playing co-op, you can make quicker work of working a room and getting all the money that's there.
Yeah, you can. And this game has a lot of money laying around.
It does.
I was surprised. Like I had $1,000 saved up before I even started.
That's a good point. There is more money in this than I remember in other Luigi's Mansion games, but actually the money has a good use in this game. Egad has a little store that opens up and he'll sell you different things. Like he'll sell you a gold bone, which will let Polterpup revive you if you die. And this might come in handy during a boss battle or something.
Right.
But he also sells these little cartridges for your Virtual Boo that look, of course, just like Virtual Boy cartridges. And they'll show you the location of a gym or of a hidden Boo. So there's actually a use for the money in this game. You know, it seems like in the original Luigi's Mansion, it would just basically, your money would just give you maybe a better ending, but that was really all it would do for you. And to me, there's a real incentive to really collect all the money in this game.
For sure.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that co-op has been a lot of fun.
It has.
I would love to try this out at some point. But like I said, it's perfectly playable. It sounds like either way. So it's just with single player, you're just having to move back and forth between them a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But it's worked really well, and I haven't had any issues with it.
Good.
Thought we'd go ahead and talk about the multiplayer. So not only does this game have the single player and the co-op campaign, but it has multiplayer and multiplayer online with the Scare Scraper mode. And I think this mode originally was in Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon on 3DS. Did you ever play that mode at all?
I even forgot about that. It seems like I did play that one time, but yeah. I don't remember much about it.
Well, you know, I actually went back. I booted up my copy, and you can still find people online playing the Scare Scraper mode on Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon. I was very surprised. I did not have to wait long at all. And it works very well, but we're not really talking about that. Of course, we're talking about this mode in Luigi's Mansion 3. And we had the opportunity to play along with Tristan, our friend, online. And this mode is a lot of fun.
You know, I was really surprised at this because we do know that Luigi's Mansion is getting DLC in the future.
Right.
Now I see a perfectly good reason if they could add some more stuff to this mode here.
Oh, definitely.
I'm 100% on board. So this game is, you can either choose a 5-level hotel or a 10-level hotel,
yes.
I believe. So you start, of course, at ground one, level one, and you just got to catch all the ghosts or do whatever it tells you. Sometimes you're catching crows, like sucking crows into your vacuum cleaner,
right.
Or bats or whatever it
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you have a time limit. As long as you complete your task within the time limit, you advance up to the next floor. It surprised me how challenging this mode actually was.
Indeed. It seems like they make this, you know, you can play 4 players, and it seems like they designed this for about 4 players. And when we first started, it was just me and you, and we had very trouble getting past the very first floor because you've got to be very precise. And of course, also, there are traps littered around the mansions. And it took me a while to figure out kind of the tales of how to even spot a trap. I kept opening up a door and getting stuck behind it, you know.
Yeah.
And you can't get out by yourself. Someone's across the map, they've got to go there and let you free. So it took me a while to kind of figure out, oh, you know, don't open this door, or hey, avoid this rug, or otherwise you'll get bundled up in it, you know.
Yeah.
And making matters worse, all these floors are randomly generated, so you can't really learn a specific floor and start breezing through it after playing through it every time. It's different. So very, very challenging, but, you know, not in a way that made me want to put the game down. I just was like, we can do better next time. And every time we'd get a little closer until we finally started advancing floors. And this was just a blast to play. I thought we might play this for half an hour or an hour. I think we ended up playing for for about 4+ hours that night.
I know.
It was a lot of fun. And we finally, and this sounds sad, but we finally made it to the top of the 5th floor. And it felt like a gigantic accomplishment with how hard it was.
Oh, yeah. That's something else we should mention. There are actually accomplishments in this game.
There are. Yeah, that's true.
I didn't even really think about that. There's not many Switch titles, or as far as Mario titles, that is.
Yeah, with little achievements and stuff. So, yeah.
The achievements vary, but I did get one the other day.
I did, too. I found a secret room in the... And I forget which floor it was in, but it was like a treasure room, and it was just full of treasure.
Oh,
and I walked in there, and it's like, you found the treasure room. The accomplishment popped up. So
very cool.
Yeah, it's very neat, and it definitely makes you want to explore even extra well, and because you may stumble across something like that. But yeah, I was very impressed with the multiplayer. I'm telling you, we've both been really, really busy since that night we played. But all I want to do is get back online and play some more Scarescraper with you.
Same here. I can't wait.
It was just an absolute blast. Of course, there's also the Scream Park mode. But as far as I could tell, that's local only. And I have not had a chance to play it because I haven't had anybody to play it with. But I am looking forward to trying it out. To me, from what I've seen, it doesn't look as in-depth as the Scarescraper mode, but I would like to try it out.
It reminds me of the Mario Party minigames I mentioned that before.
Yeah, it looks like it's a collection of just 2 or 3 different minigames. And I'm sure it'll be fun. But really, what I was just blown away by was a Scarescraper mode. You know, I would have bought this game easily with no complaints if it just had the single player mode. But the fact that it also has this very fun online multiplayer just, to me, makes it even more of a value.
Yeah.
And I will say, playing that old Scarescraper mode on Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, it is way easier. We just breezed through a 10-floor one. So they've added so much stuff. There was so much stuff that's in Luigi's Mansion 3 Scarescraper that is not in 2. They've definitely made a lot of upgrades, and it's definitely a lot more fun.
Gotcha.
So, I don't know. I think we should keep at it, and maybe we can eventually do a whole 10-floor Scarescraper, maybe.
That may take 4, 5, or 6 hours.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, this has just been, you know, we were very excited for this game. We love Luigi. We love Luigi's Mansion, the franchise. And this game has just exceeded my expectations. I have very few complaints about it. Like you said, parts of it can be a little bit easy. But if that's the only complaint you have, that's not a terrible one to have.
So, right.
Overall, just very excited. I'm very, very much looking forward to completing this game. And hopefully before Pokemon comes out.
Oh, I know it. Yeah.
So maybe next episode we'll be able to talk about maybe the end, you know, finishing the game and some more Scarescraper stuff.
That would be awesome.
Well, that's going to do it for today's episode. We want to thank everyone for listening. We want to ask everyone to remind everyone that they can visit our show page at anchor.fm/KareboShoot Podcast. We're, of course, available on all the popular podcast apps. Just search for KareboShoot Podcast and you'll find us there. Please rate the show on Apple Podcast or Google Podcast if you enjoy it. You can email questions or thoughts into us at our email at KareboShoePodcast@gmail.com. And we're on Twitter at KareboShoePod. We're on Instagram at KareboShoePodcast. And we're on Facebook at Facebook.com/KareboShoePodcast. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys in the next episode.